Good evening, everyone. I call the April 1st, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Sinapi. Ms. Travis. Nine present.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you very much. We're now moving to general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I'd like to call for a moment of silence for Liam Dempsey, the little boy who was killed in my ward.
Thank you, Councilwoman. We'll have a moment of silence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else under general communications for members of the council? Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, the city of Warwick, we definitely have our public safety challenges and tragedies. And I just want to simply say one general statement from the neighbors that I've spoken to. There's just one message I'd like to give to our public safety officials, and that is very simply to the Warwick public safety officials, very simply on behalf of the citizens. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Anything else under general communications? Councilman Ricks.
A brief reminder that the presidential primary is held tomorrow. I believe Warwick will have 9 polling locations open, 1 in each ward. Goes from voting at, I believe it goes from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. So although if you follow the coverage, it appears that candidates for major office may have the nominations clinched, it's still of symbolic importance to get out there and vote. And also, there are still delegates where for that respective party and that candidate, those have yet to be determined. So there is a purpose to getting out there and voting tomorrow, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
I just wanted to make a call out that today is April 1st. It's 401 Gives Day. It's put together by the United Way, Rhode Island's Day of Giving. I'm looking at the screen here, over $2.3 million raised so far today for Rhode Island nonprofits. There are a number of Warwick-based nonprofits who are participating, including our next-door neighbors here, the Warwick Center for the Arts, the Warwick Police Athletic League, the Warwick Animal Shelter, the Center for Mediation, who we've seen here before us, amongst others, Girl Scouts of New England, House of Hope, and others. I think it would be a great story for, you know, there's some incentives on 401 Give Day. If every member of your nonprofit board participates, there's added bonuses. And I just think it would send such a great statement to the citizens of Warwick if every member of our city council participated today and made a gift to one of these Warwick-based nonprofits. So I appreciate your support. I got mine done at 4 o'clock today and got a little match from the Rhode Island Foundation. So urge you to go to 401gives.org and support your local nonprofits. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I just wanted people to know that this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the Ocean State Grand National Karate Tournament. And we're already out of the Crown Plaza. We're using all the hotels. So at the next council meeting, I'll give you a report how many hotel rooms we used. So it's really busy this weekend for the city of Warwick from all the visitors we get. Thank you.
Excellent. Any other under general communications? Okay, next up is going to be a presentation from the director of the Elizabeth Buffin Chasen Center, which is also on 401 Cares today. So we'll put a plug in for her organization as well. And if Judith Earle is here, if you want to come up to the microphone here, the Sergeant of Arms will turn it on for you. And we thought with all that's gone down in the last couple of weeks that the great work that Judith and her organization has been doing for years for the city of Warwick, we wanted to invite you in so we can hear about the great things that you are doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me to come. It's been a long time since I've been in these chambers and talked to you, and many of you are new. Some are old friends. And again, thank you for having me come. I thought what I would do is tell you a little bit about how we started, what we've been doing, and where we think we're headed. Back in the 1970s, a small group of women who worked to improve the community had just finished establishing the Warwick Museum, which is next door. That was a project of the General Federation of Women's Clubs of Warwick, the Warwick Juniors. They were looking for something else to do that was equally important, and they started to look into the subject of battered women. So there wasn't anything anywhere in the area to help battered women. It was a relatively new movement still in 1979. So they went to the mayor at the time, Joe Walsh, and asked if there was anything that the city of Warwick could do to help them to establish some services for women who were fleeing from abuse. Mayor Walsh did. He gave the annex building of the Connecticut School, the Connecticut Elementary School in on West Shore Road. There was a brick annex in the back. It had been a school, and it was now abandoned. So he transferred that over to this young group of women, and they spent a couple of years turning it into the Elizabeth Buffum Chase House. So that was they incorporated in 1979. So 45 years ago, the agency was founded. And during those 2 years of working on the building, they started a hotline, crisis hotline, which is the first way in which we can help people who are isolated because they're facing abuse in their homes. In June 1981, the shelter opened with 23 beds, 4 cribs, and several youth beds. And it was a booming business right from the start. The shelter was always full. I started on the board there in 1982, and I can tell you that anytime I went in for meetings, the place was always filled with women and children. Also in 1989, there were 2 houses that were acquired through the expansion of the airport. And those 2 little houses were moved to land that was given by the city. And so the 2 little houses found new homes and a way to help people who were experiencing violence. We also started to put advocates in the courthouse, at the Kent Courthouse, and at the time it was the old courthouse, and the advocates worked in the hallways. So if there were women coming in, victims coming in to seek restraining orders or help with services, our advocates found them in the hallways, and the abuser might be 2 feet away from them, but they did what they could to help them out. When the courthouse was renovated, when the new one was built, we were given an office. And so now we have 3 full-time advocates who take care of anyone coming into that building for help with domestic violence or sexual assault cases. In 2001, we decided that we needed a place in the community. We were working out of a hidden shelter, and it was really hard for those of us who were doing the work to be out in the public when we couldn't tell anybody where we were. So we embarked on a capital campaign, and gratefully, one of the first people to step up and take a leadership role was Ed Lattiser, who worked tirelessly during those few years of raising money. We started raising money during 9/11, and yet we were still able to go forward and raise the $1.6 million that we needed. The city council deeded to us the Ferris Health Center, which was in ruin and was probably the most deplorable piece of property in all of Connecticut. And a mere $1.6 million later, in 2 years, it was ours. And it is where we work today, where most of us work today. And it's a beautiful center in the heart of Connecticut and is open as a drop-in center. No one lives there, but it's a drop-in center. It's a place for counseling, support groups, and where many of our staff are working. So since that time, we have taken not just the 2 little houses that we got and turned them into transitional housing, but again, with help from community services in the city, we were able to purchase another house and turn that house into transitional housing and then subsequently into safe shelter. So that left us with this beautiful building where we started, the brick building, brick annex building. And that was empty for a few years. The trend was less shelter for women and more services in the community. That seemed to be the growing trend as abusers were being held more accountable and women and children didn't need to uproot themselves and go into shelter. So we decided that it would make a perfect place for permanent supportive housing. And again, it took 7 years of cobbling together federal grants. It took time to renovate it from what it was. And we had a ribbon cutting during the height of the pandemic. And that was in 2020. And we now have a beautiful building that has 7 units of permanent supportive housing. So in the years that we've been in business, we've gone from a hotline to a safe shelter, a big safe shelter, to a small safe shelter, to transitional housing, permanent supportive housing. And all along the way, the city of Warwick has been a great partner in what we've been doing. We also have expanded our mission from just domestic violence to serving victims of sexual assault and trafficking. We work with children. We work with children who are in schools with teen dating violence prevention. We do a lot of education in the community as well. And from our humble beginnings, we are now working in 16 cities and towns in court. We saw over 4,100 individuals last year alone, and that is unduplicated. That means 401,000 individuals that we saw last year, and over 500 were from the city of Warwick. What we found is that if someone comes to us and is seeking shelter, safe shelter, maybe where we are located isn't the best place for someone from the city who lives in the city of Warwick. Maybe it is, but maybe it's very dangerous. So we partner with our sister agencies in other parts of the state to make sure that we can provide them with services, but they can also live safely elsewhere. So what I wanted to just say is that we started out with a vision. The city has helped us with that vision and has believed in us for all of these years. The trends for the future include, as you can imagine, that there's a need for affordable housing everywhere. We have people who come and stay in our shelter to flee, and we're able to help them with job training, with getting their finances in order, with court advocacy, with counseling, but there's no place for them to go. And so they stay longer than they should. And so that's a challenge for us. It's a challenge everywhere, and one that we continue to work on. We have a need to increase our clinical services for children who witness violence in the home, because these are the children who are tomorrow's victims or abusers, very likely. So we try very hard to work with them while they're still young, in spite of what they've seen and witnessed in their homes. We collaborate with all of our city partners, and always have. We have a great relationship with the other nonprofits in the city. And we look to see where we can combine our funds to maximize the services. We figure that we serve probably of the 10 or 12 nonprofits in the city, we probably share about 3,000 people in common who are Warwick residents. And so helping them to navigate from our services to other services is something that we do work on quite a bit. So I wanted to thank you. I don't know if this is exactly what you hoped I would share, Councilman, but I'm happy to take any questions. But I wanted to say thank you for being a part of this movement and the Elizabeth Buffum Chase Center for every one of the last 45 years.
Well, thank you. And this is exactly what we were looking for. We wanted to highlight all the work that you've been doing for all this time. And I was thrilled to hear about my colleagues' work with you to get it started. And this is why we wanted you to come in. We want to make sure as many people know about what you're doing. So if someone is in crisis and they need to reach out, they know where to find you. So I thank you so much for coming here and sharing your story.
Yeah, and I will say that we have 5 full-time staff who work out of 11 police departments, and one who works full-time out of the Warwick Police Department. So situations like the one most recent one that was mentioned and others like it, you can be sure that our staff is right there.
Great. Thank you very much. And please know you have our full support. So
thank you.
Thank you. Next up is executive communications. There are none. Let's finish the first page. So A is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on March 18th, 2024. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
For action. We moved favorable. Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. So at this time, just give me 1 minute. I want to go over so we can explain the next process. I just have to check on one thing. Hold on 1 second, please. So barring any objection, we have a number of people here. We had started a conversation at 6 o'clock. We went about an hour and a half on that. So I'd like to pick up that issue at this time, which was, it's now a PCR. I don't have it in front of me, but the City Hall Plaza site improvement. We discussed that. I know a couple of council people have some things. First, let's get this out of the way. Solicitor Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. President. Same issue was cited in committee. I've provided notice of recusal on this matter before the council. This is bid 2024-322, which was subsequently assigned PCR 3324. I'll be recusing on this matter, and the clerk and the ethics commission will have the appropriate paperwork.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. So moving forward, we will not, we can all stay here, but we will not have legal counsel. So any questions on anything, I'm just going to put it up for a vote between the nine of us as we move forward. So what PCR? So this is PCR 3324, the City Hall Plaza site. Let me just let the finance people get their notes.
Could I ask for a quick clarification, just so I'm clear?
Sure.
So is this immediately a vote on the potential for executive session, or are we simply vote on whatever is proffered?
Correct. So my first question is there any objection to hearing this item at this time? Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, we will now hear this item at this time. So now I'm going to open it up for any questions, comments, amendments, or anything like that. And as I mentioned, kind of in uncharted territory here, so anything, we're just going to put it up for a vote. So Councilman Sanapi.
So unless we're going to hold this, I'm going to request to move to executive session. So because the possibility for holding exists, and because the executive session is rather extreme comparatively, I guess I'll first move the hold and we can see the outcome. And if it fails, I'm going to move for executive session.
Okay, so you're making a motion to hold, second by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? Second by Councilman Ricks. Any questions or motion to hold until when?
Just the next meeting.
To the next meeting, which is April 22. Any questions on the motion? So this is a motion to hold at this time. Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll on a motion to hold until the next meeting. No.
Mr. President, we aren't supposed to just, I know you said on the motion, we can't discuss whether the hold.
Is there any questions on the motion to hold? Any comments on the motion to hold?
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry, City Clerk.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
No, as a procedural vote.
Mr. Sanapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
4 yes, 5 no, motion fails.
Okay.
Move to reconsider.
Okay, there's a motion to reconsider. Do we have a second on that? Second. Again, I'm just going to put everything up to a vote at this point in time. So there's a motion to reconsider. It has been seconded. Any questions or comments on the reconsideration? Councilman Howe.
A comment. We had the legal, I am not a lawyer, so this is in discussion of this. I am not a lawyer. So before we hold, I depend on the counsel, on the solicitor. I depend on the lawyers that are hired by the city. This legal action was brought at 3:30 this afternoon. Put everything aside. It was brought to a judge for an immediate pause. It was denied, thus moving us forward on this vote. The solicitor of the city advised us that this is a solid, as did the bidding company or the review company of Beta. They said 100% they support this moving forward. The city feels very comfortable moving this forward. The city solicitor feels very comfortable moving this forward. I am saying this as I am not a lawyer. I am going on the recommendations of the lawyers. If this is going to continue as a legal, I'm very nervous in the bidding side of things as the chairperson of finance of what the future holds. If every time someone at the 5 o'clock hour decides to go ahead and challenge something, what's the next step? Like, will that be the new tactic? And I'm not saying this is a tactic, so don't take it that way, please. Will that be the new tactic of the future, where 3:30 will be in court, we argue this bid, when the guidelines that were given to us by our solicitor, highlighted and identified, are right here? I depend on what the solicitor says. And that is what we retain him for. I depend on what Solicitor Walsh says, who had to remove himself from this process. Right now, I have no one to go on, nothing to go on, except for the information that was given to us, as well as the stuff that was read. That is why I'll be voting to move forward and not to hold this item. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Snappy.
So the reason why I'm requesting the hold is because we were told certain things as far as the legal position. I have questions and comments regarding that and regarding other aspects that were not otherwise addressed. And I know I am not the only one with such questions. And I know we have at least one other council person here who has somewhat of an expertise in the area as well, who I'd like to hear from, but not in open session for the obvious reasons. And that being said, Councilman Howell's spot on as far as his decision-making process is what it's supposed to be. And I'd be happy to have the discussion and to provide more information in executive session as opposed to holding. Frankly, it doesn't matter to me which route we go. So if there's a preference to do executive session, that's fine. And for all I know, the administration might prefer it, because it's possible we go into executive session and we come out, everyone's ready to vote one way or another on the item. That's absolutely possible. So if the overarching desire is to have the discussion in as best we can tonight, then sure, I'm for that. And if it looks like that's what we want, rather than have like a narrow vote on holding, we could just do executive session. Would that be preferable to Councilman Howe and everyone else who would prefer not to hold? Because if so, I'll drop the request to hold. I'm not trying to browbeat anybody into it. And we can just do executive session instead.
Well, Councilman, at this time, it's Councilman Ricks's motion for reconsideration. So we voted no on the hold, but he voted in the affirmative. So he asked for reconsideration. So before us right now is a motion to reconsider that the vote to hold.
That's true, but Councilman Ricks needs my vote.
Say that again?
That's true, but Councilman Ricks needs my vote for this to continue. So one way or another, if the preference is for executive session and to potentially vote on the item tonight as opposed to holding, I can make sure that happens simply by voting the other way on this motion. So what I'm trying to decipher is that the preference from those who do not wish to hold?
Councilman McElroy.
I agree with Councilman Sinapi. I prefer to go into executive session rather than to hold it.
Okay. Councilman Ricks, again, this is your motion. Do you want to withdraw your motion?
I'll just say briefly that the reason why I made that procedural no vote in the first place was because, first, I was not certain whether the initial vote would make it the first time. And then in the event of having an executive session, it would seem logical to me that we would desire to be able to proceed with a hearing on April 22nd as opposed to a later date. And if there was no proper ability to reconsider the vote, then that would rule out that possibility. So with all of that said, it does appear that at least one other member would prefer executive session over a motion to hold. My concern is that having executive session here tonight without the CD solicitor, I'm not sure how productive it would be. However, having the executive session, it does not rule out the ability to hold it to April 22nd either. So for those reasons, I will, for this moment, drop my motion to reconsider and reconsider the motion to hold. I will reserve that motion, and instead I would move to executive session.
So you're withdrawing your motion to reconsider?
Yes.
You still have the floor. So now you are making a new motion to go into executive session.
Correct.
First off, do we have a second on that? Second. Okay. Now we're going to open up a discussion, and I want to hear from the administration on this as well. Here is my concerns on this, and Councilman Rick's already touched on it. We don't have an attorney, so we're going to go into executive session without any legal counsel. I just don't think that is productive. I also have concerns on how we enter into something that was not on the agenda. I know Councilman Sinapi can speak to that, but again, I feel in a better place if we are moving forward with our legal counsel. So I am not in favor of moving to an executive session. I think you need a solicitor in there, and we won't have a solicitor in there. So it's I'm not sure what needs to be privileged if there's no attorney in there for us. So I want to give the mayor an opportunity to speak on this. And then, like I said, we're going to vote everything that comes before us. So,
Mr. President,
hold on, let's let the mayor speak.
I'll defer to the councilman.
Okay. Go ahead, Mayor.
Yes, Mr. President and Council, I object to holding this for 3 weeks for any period of time. I don't object to an executive session. And should you hold it, it's my intention to invoke my right under Article 2.9 of the Charter for a special meeting. It will be later this week. This isn't something that should be held. We've gotten a solicitor's legal opinion. Our recommendation to this council is not going to change in 3 weeks. It's not going to be litigated in a courtroom in the next 3 weeks. There is no productive reason to hold this. So as I said, I would be more than willing to go into an executive session with you and discuss it. But if we're going to hold it, I'm going to move forward with that method. And respectfully, but it just, there is no reason to hold this for 3 weeks.
Thank you, Matt. Councilman Lattimore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would concur with your position. It is concerning. I don't have a problem going into executive session, but I have a problem going into executive session without legal counsel there. Legal counsel from either our city council or from the city itself. That is very concerning. For that reason, I would support a hold until the next meeting when the city solicitor or a solicitor can be present during executive session. I don't think a couple of weeks on this thing is going to make a difference, but I think in the utmost of caution, we should at least have legal representation there. Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
I am against going into executive session. I'm against holding. I agree with Councilman Howe and the mayor. We have had legal representation. Nothing has been presented that changes what city solicitor told us at the beginning of the meeting that he believes us to be on firm legal grounds. If we interject ourselves into this bid process over and above what our role is, I'm fearful of litigation against the council. I'm going to side with the city solicitor and the mayor, the administration's position. I am in favor of voting on this bid tonight. The plaintiffs, the people who have been here and came and gave their time, have gone to court. The court has not ruled in their favor. They still have that avenue to proceed with. I am not in favor of interjecting the city council into this further than what our role is clearly defined as. A presentation has come in front of us, the finance committee, and now the whole council, with a recommendation from the administration. Further, we have an opinion from the city solicitor with their legal opinion. So we have heard from the legal community, our legal community, and their recommendation. And that's where I'm going. Thank you.
Mappy.
So a couple of things. One, the procedural one, just to verify, Councilman Ricks, your motion is to go into executive session pursuant to 42465A2, a session pertaining to litigation, potential or actual, correct?
Correct.
And it's regarding the bid for the the, I assume the one that regarding Bentley and Tower. I don't have the exact number, if someone could list it off. PCR.
33, no.
3324.
Correct. Formerly known as bid number 2024-322.
All right. And as far as the various positions, so if anyone hasn't noticed, some of us are in favor of holding, some of us are in favor of executive session. We kind of got to pick a lane. Otherwise, both are going to fail, and then we're going to have an interesting time on the actual vote. But to be clear, the reason why you're not hearing other reasons why potentially the vote should go one way or another is because some of us are purposely not stating them, because we shouldn't be, because the potential for actual or imminent litigation. We're not supposed to be discussing the merits either way when we're on the floor, when it should be done in closed session, just like what we do for all the other things. This is no different, and I'm confused why we're pretending it is. Also, regardless of what we want, if we all vote yes or vote no, it doesn't matter. We are targets for litigation. It doesn't matter if we go into executive session or not. That changes nothing as far as whether or not we're a target for litigation. What would be more problematic, though, is if you have people voicing a desire to discuss the matter because they have concerns or questions and being denied the ability to do so, that's not a great look for anybody. Because even if the hold is denied, or the session, or both rather, are denied, I'm still not going to sit here and spout all the reasons yay or nay for this, because I shouldn't. And I'm not going to torpedo the city's legal strategy because others don't agree with my vote. I just won't. And nor should anyone else, frankly. I get that we wanted to get this done. I get that the project is great. None of this is news to anyone. We all want it to happen. Heck, even the bidders want it to happen. That's why they bid on it. But to not have the discussion just seems silly. It's not like it's going to be a big thing. We don't have to take a vote down there. In fact, we shouldn't be taking a vote in there, frankly. So whether or not the solicitor's there doesn't change that. He just is there to advise you about legal strengths and weaknesses. There's other things besides that. There are facts to discuss that can be discussed there. The solicitor doesn't change whether or not those facts exist. They simply do. So there's not a need for them there to reiterate what already exists as a fact. So I think we're getting a little caught up on semantics and things that don't matter as much as people realize. Yes, it would be great to have a solicitor. We all agree. Absolutely. The preference from the administration is for this to get addressed tonight. The preference from a lot of us is for this to get addressed tonight. The way to do that in the most efficient way possible, and the way that actually makes sure we cover our bases and do our jobs, is to just go into executive session briefly. And then, guess what? If somebody gets tired of it or it's no longer productive, anyone can move to exit executive session. It's not a huge deal. Just go into executive session and get this over with. This seems silly to be debating whether or not to discuss something that we should discuss, and we all agree merits discussion. And in fact, everyone says, wow, you know, there's other information, and without more information, my opinion won't change. Again, we are offering to provide additional information. If we don't go into executive session, you are denying the ability for that information to be provided. So please let us go there so we can do so.
So before us is a motion to move into executive session. Any other comments or questions from members of the council? Okay, so the motion before us, it's been moved and seconded, is to move into executive session to discuss PCR 3324. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
6 yes, 3 no, motion passes.
Okay, now before we get up, I would like a motion to see if we're going to go into executive session now, or do we want to continue with the council meeting, that we have a lot of items that are before us, And I think we're on number four, so we still have that. So again, we want to bring everything up for discussion. So Councilman Howe.
I make a motion that we go into executive session now.
Okay, is there a second on that? Second by Councilman McElroy, Councilman Lattiser. Okay, the clerk will call the roll that we move into executive session at this time.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no, motion passes.
We are now moving to executive session.
You take the list, huh?
Yeah. Evening again, everyone. We are Councilman Sinapi.
So as far as actions taken in executive session, we convened and we had only one vote, and it was on a motion to reconvene into open session. It was 9-0, it was unanimous for all council members. And now I'd like to move to seal the executive session minutes.
Councilman has made a motion to seal the minutes for the executive session, second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Gephardt. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, the clerk will call the roll to seal the minutes from executive session. Yes.
Foley. Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Howe.
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Okay, and then Councilman Sinapi.
So just to reiterate, for the sake of clarity, no other votes were taken, no other motions were heard in executive session. And I think we're good for now, open session.
Do we need a vote to go back into open session?
So the vote we took at the end of the executive session was to reconvene into open session.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so now we are back, and we are still discussing PCR 3324. Are there any questions or comments from members of the council on PCR 3324? Councilman Lattiser.
Are you moving for a vote on this now?
We're still discussing it, so any discussion? There's no motion before us. We're on the item right now.
We still have a whole bid package to go through, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, but right now we're doing the PCR, so we're just doing that right now, not the bid package.
So are you asking for any more comments on the PCR?
Correct. Right now, the item before us at this time is the City Hall Plaza improvement. We moved it off the consent calendar, so that is PCR 3324. So now we are open for any discussion, okay, comments on that project.
My question is, if there's any more discussion, are you going to be moving for a vote on PCR 3324 now, or is it going to be after we go through the rest of the bid package?
No, it's before us at this time. So we could, if that's the pleasure of the council, we could take a vote at any time right now. It is before us right now.
Okay. So with that said, assuming that you're going to be taking a vote on this right now, there's a lot of concerns that I have with this. One is the cost to maintain this in perpetuity. We have a potential $10 million refit at the two rinks that we have now. We have not been able to maintain those on time or efficiently for just a various amount of reasons. Could be money, could be staffing. We have so many items that need to be taken care of in this city, from water infrastructure to the two ice rinks we already have, to the public access areas, which I recently learned about at a Harbor Management Commission, that more than two-thirds of them are not being maintained, because we don't have the staff to do it, and we don't have the resources to do it. We have trees all over the city that we can't get cut down because we don't have adequate equipment. I know we have a new truck coming.
Mr. President, can I make a point of order, please? The discussion before the city council right now is on the bid to build a skating rink.
I know, but he has the floor at this time, so he still has the floor at this time.
So okay, that's why I asked the question.
These aren't agenda
items. If you're not voting on it, I don't need
excuse me. Excuse me. One person is going to speak at this time. Councilman Lattiser has the floor, Mayor.
So, if Mr. President, if you are not going to move this for a vote after the comments from the council at this moment, then I don't need to say anything. But if this is going to be moved to a vote now, I don't want to be blindsided.
Correct. You have the floor.
For a damn vote, and I don't have an opportunity to speak. So I want to know, are we speaking now with the...
As I've said three times now, everyone, I've said three times. Okay. We are discussing PCR 3324. That is it. That is the ice rink. The floor is yours at this point. Go ahead.
So that's the point. For me, that's the point. Obviously, this is something that I would think we all agree would be a great thing to have. I don't disagree with that. I understand that there's been a lot of work put into this. But from the beginning of it to current day, there's been a lot of other things that we've learned. We've learned about contractual increases just recently that we have to pay for. We have runaway costs on healthcare and pensions and free lifetime healthcare. We have infrastructure that is a major challenge to keep up with, which is very difficult to do because of finances, because of staffing, et cetera. At this point in time, I am not going to be able to support this item for all of those reasons. And that's where my position is, Mr. Chair. Perhaps someplace down the road, maybe. Councilman Gebhardt brought up the question earlier. I thought the question was well pointed. Could we use $8 million to bring the two rinks that we have now up to where they need to be maintained in perpetuity, as opposed to, let me back up, to be maintained a lot easier with all new equipment in there, as opposed to, let's not really do what we need to do there, but, you know, let's build a whole nother infrastructure. This is outside of just an ice skating rink. It's a whole new infrastructure that has to be maintained on the backs of the taxpayers, in addition to all of the other monies that we have to put out. My position is, I just feel the timing is wrong with this. I don't think it's something that we should be venturing into when we have so many other priorities that need to take place. It could be said, well, should we just give, you know, Senator Reed back the money? Well, perhaps his $5 million could be used for other items. I don't know. So that's where I am, Mr. President. I just wanted to be straight up with this as to what the reasoning is for my no vote when you take this vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, first of all, let me, for clarification, we already voted to move forward with this project. That's number one. Number two, Senator Reed did allocate, the administration went to the senator allocated money specifically for this project. Secondly, from the very beginning of the mayor taking office with the ARPA, he has been very vocal that he's gonna be allocating ARPA funds for this project. So for the clarification, whether we have contracts coming up, whether healthcare is running amok, no matter any of that stuff, ARPA funds and this grant money cannot be used for either. So they are null conversations. That's a scare tactic and we're not going to hear it. Finally, the people, the citizens are excited about this. We already have a local company that is willing to sponsor the name rights of that. It's revenue generating. The people coming into Appanag, the people coming into the city of Warwick to ice skate with ample parking and a growing infrastructure,
That's a good thing. This is an investment in the future, and an investment that came from pure federal dollars that does not take away from our infrastructure, that does not take away from the benefits of our employees, that does not depend on the rising cost of contracts or healthcare. This is 100% recreational funding from the federal government between OPERA and a grant, a federal grant money, to build an ice skating rink within our city for our citizens, direct use for our citizens, that will also bring in businesses that want to catch those citizens as they're looking to buy a hot chocolate, as they're looking to get a meal, these citizens with their children as they're looking to do other things. And then during the summer also have an alternate purpose. This is not just let's build it and walk away from it. This is build it and build it up from the infrastructure. Again, grant money, ARPA money. So that is the focus. And this is a project, and I want to respectfully remind my colleagues, we already approved this project. We already voted in favor of this project. This is the bid to move forward with the making the facility. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Councilman Gephardt.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you, Councilman Howe. I'll just add that in addition to the positive benefits to the community, much like our other ice rinks, this will be a source of revenue. I believe the administration modeled the Providence Skating Center in preparation. And you know, there's a revenue stream there as well. I mean, Councilman Lattiser is not incorrect here, though. We clearly cannot let the infrastructure that we invest in languish for years and years and years. We have funded a substantial number of improvements and repairs, thankfully, many of them with ARPA dollars. But that really comes at the cost of not maintaining these things for years past. And so we need to take care of what we have. We need to take care of what we're building here. But as you see, obviously there's a couple folks here to object. But they've got a horse in the race. But we don't have any members of the public, neither in support nor in opposition. But I think we would hear more if there was a resounding groundswell of opposition to us taking on this project. As has been mentioned, we approved this in the budget. We have tacitly approved it with our support for the mayor and his priorities throughout both terms. And I think we'll support it here tonight. So thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the council that haven't spoken yet? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So as a point of clarification, this project was approved in the previous budget. I voted no on the budget. So just a point of clarification.
Mr. President.
Mayor.
He did vote no on the budget, but we sent the design out to bid and he voted yes. We've spent over $600,000 in design for this project. An earmark grant cannot be used for anything other than an earmark grant. And I object to when the councilman says that we're having trouble keeping up with the infrastructure. We're not keeping up. We're playing catch up. From decisions that were made on this council floor prior to 3 years ago when I took over the mayor's office. When Councilman Lattice was in leadership, those budgets passed. They didn't buy fire trucks. They didn't buy garbage trucks. They didn't buy plows. All of that happened here. We have spent $65 million on infrastructure from ARPA funds, lease purchase, grants. So I object to when he says that we can't keep up. We have kept up. We're keeping up. We're getting ahead. This city is a way better place than it was 3 years ago when we couldn't even pick up trash before midnight. So I object to that. We are keeping up, Councilman, and we're catching up to the mess that I was left. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Foley.
I make a motion to call the question.
Okay, do we have a second to that? Second by Councilman McElroy.
I make a
why
motion.
Why don't you make a motion? Why don't you make a motion first?
And yep. I make a motion for favorable action.
Second by Councilman McElroy. Now, just so I understand, you guys are sitting up here. So the public comment period was during the committees. So you spoke on that. So at this time, there's no more public comment period. I'm sorry. It's just the council at this time. So.
Actually, I spoke with Judge Leach, and your solicitor will confirm this. He specifically indicated that we get a chance to speak to the full council. Specifically, and you can call him.
Sir, you can turn the mic off. I don't have a solicitor here.
Let me get the record straight. Sir, you do not have authority to speak.
Excuse me. The Sergeant of Arms will turn the microphone off. I'm sorry, sir, but this is
the judge.
This is in the full council meeting. I was not told about any judge order, just what we were given this afternoon with what the solicitor said to us. He did not mention anything else. Thank you. So before us is a motion for favorable action. As I was saying, in committee earlier this evening, the members of the public were able to speak. They had that opportunity. They took that opportunity. It was moved to the full council. Now it is within the full council. So at this time, thank you very much. Councilman, right before us, we have a motion for favorable action, and it has been seconded. Any questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Sinap.
Just a quick note for the record, the individuals did speak to the full council already. We all were here. We all were spoken to. So if any issue wants to be raised about it, it happened already. So I don't think Judge Leach is going to dither over the semantics of where we were sitting at the time. We're all in the room. We all were addressed. That might not be sufficient in some people's eyes, but that is what it is.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the motion? Councilman Ricks.
I'm just going to suggest that sometimes, and I'm going to suggest that this may be one of those times where it may be appropriate to open the floor up once again, let the public have one last opportunity to speak, and it may or may not sway our votes.
So we follow the council rules here. The opportunity was made. So you were suggesting we suspend the council rules to allow an individual another opportunity to speak on this, even though they already had an opportunity.
I would say that it is more than their rights as a member of the public would provide under our council rules, certainly. It would be unusual for us to do this, but I think that we have the discretion to do that if we were to desire.
With all due respect with that, Councilman Ricks, how is that fair to the individuals that were here earlier, know the rules, and left because they knew that there wasn't going to be an opportunity to speak again? So there could be individuals that were here from the other company or members of the public that were here that wanted to speak just on that. They're no longer here. So us changing the rules, I don't think is a good practice.
And that is true. It really would be giving almost an unfair advantage to give such an additional opportunity to speak under those circumstances. So,
well, we said we'd vote everything. So if you make a motion, if we get a second.
I'll move to allow public comment to reopen for a period of no more than 5 minutes per speaker.
Is there a second to that motion? Is there a second to that motion? Second to that motion. So now is what is before us is to reopen the public hearing to allow each individual an additional 5 minutes to speak on this. Is there any questions on that motion? Councilman Howe.
So first parliamentary, we had a motion sitting. And I think what I'll do is refer to Councilman Sinappi, Mr. President, if that's okay.
Again, we're in a difficult situation here, so I think we should just vote everything.
So I am going to vote against this, and I'll tell you why. One, I don't like it. You know, I think we have a rules, as you said, Council President. You come to committee, you speak in committee, discussion in committee, committee makes a recommendation. It then goes to the council for discussion amongst the council, because the council has a vote. The council gets the facts. I wasn't too fond of being told, again, another 3:30-hour thing. I wasn't too fond of having a lawyer bark at my council president while he's trying to conduct business within these council chambers. I don't need a reply. And I'm not too fond also that, you know, once again, it's trust my word, you'll hear from your solicitor, we get to address the whole, that's what the committee is for. So we understand the council rules. Getting barked at doesn't change the council rules. So I'm going to vote against this. And
thank you.
And I'd like to continue with the original motion that was made on the floor by Councilman Foley. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so the motion that is before us that has been seconded is to reopen public comment and for an additional 5 minutes per speaker. The clerk will call the roll. Yes vote is to reopen to give an additional 5 minutes. A no vote is to continue with the council rules.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lanza?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
No. Thank you. Motion fails. Now, Councilman Foley had a motion for favorable action, and that was seconded. And so we go back to that motion. Are there any questions or comments on that? Any questions or comments? Okay. Excuse me. Gentlemen, so right before us now is a motion for favorable action on PCR 34-24. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll. A yes vote is for favorable action to the administration's recommendation on PCR 3324.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lanza?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Yes, for no motion passes.
Thank you. Motion passes. At this time, I would request a brief recess because we do have a lot of directors here that have been waiting, and then we'll go back into the Finance Committee. So, Councilman Howell, when you're ready, you call the meeting.